It's time for the Ronin role-playing podcast. Join Scormy as he plays through various tabletop role-playing games entirely on his own. Some are specifically designed for solo play, while with others he will be using a GM emulator. Regardless, come enjoy the strange world of solo role-playing with your host, Scormy.
Hey there, everyone. Welcome back to Ronin Role-Playing Podcast. I am your host, Scormy. Now, where we last left Dakota was in a mansion belonging to a man named Burke, and he was in the sitting room with Burke and Avery, the butler, and Bishop, the truck driver friend that he made who brought him from Denver here to Texas, with riots going on outside of the gated community at all the entrances. Alleged riots and protests. According to Burke, though, it's actually servitors of the Fomor who are trying to get in to get at him. And if he goes, so goes Austin. As in, Fomor will gain full control over Austin, Texas. So, not a good thing, obviously. But they want, Burke especially, wants to make sure that the kid here, Dakota, is not a servitor himself, a spy, an assassin, whatever, who's been snuck in. He also does not trust Bishop for things that have occurred in the past. So, they intend to make sure that Dakota is human, either by hearing his story out and judging whether it seems plausible, or by stripping him naked and checking every inch of him to make sure that he doesn't have any adjustments. The Fomor like to modify their servitors. For example, they'll add gills to some of them, because the Fomor have until recently been living in the sea. So having servitors that can breathe underwater, kind of helpful. And, they do all kinds of stuff like that. Now, when we last left, Dakota had his .357 out, holding it on the other three. Bishop, with his messed up ankles, sitting there wishing he had more whiskey in his glass. Avery, the elderly butler, is sitting there holding a scalpel, just kind of waiting to see what the kid does. And Burke put his hand out and a ball of flame appeared above it. I'd call that an implied threat. So Dakota's not pleased. Dakota is in he's a little freaked out. And as we checked, I got a fate point for it. For I invoked, as Game Master, my trouble, too young to know better. And he pulled his gun and he was not complying. You're going to hear a lot of that about Dakota. He does not comply. But, technically, he's a mundane. So automatically, Burke is a higher scale character because he's some form of wizard, right? Since he's got that adjustment in scale, I can use countermeasures to erase that, but he'd have to be assuming that Avery is also a mortal. He knows Bishop is, or at least believes so. He hasn't seen any reason to think otherwise. This dude just lit his hand on fire. Well, no, he has a fire above his hand, but Dakota's not having a good week. Oh. Well, let's just see how the cards are doing. Does Dakota pee himself? No. No, he manages not to. Does Dakota run screaming? Yes. The closest to access would be the door to the foyer, so he's going to make a bolt for it, which means he needs to make a haste check. Ooh, ooh, that's a lot of pluses. I like it. He ended up with a plus 4. Great result. Now I'm going to see if Burke will attempt to overcome. It looks like he threw up a magical shield, but it arrived just after Dakota ran through the door, so it didn't stop him, and he's bolting for the front door. Okay. Can he get outside? Ooh, that's another plus 2 to his haste, which is a plus 3. That is a good result. And again, Burke is just not able to ensnare him. So he is out to the street already, waving a pistol around, or more running with his pistol in his hand. You know what Dakota forgot? When they came over the wall into the gated community, Bishop fell, twisted his ankle, and made a bunch of noise. The police were called. They're out searching. But he just ran right out into the street with a gun in his hand. Does Dakota run right smack into either security or police? I'm going to say there's good odds, and yes. Yes, he does. Whoop, whoop, lights up, and they hop out, guns trained on him. Oh, geez. So, yeah, this kid is dumb. All right, and he's my character. I'm going to change dice. This is just insane. Going to the black sparklies again. All right. I was doing the blues. They were not working for me. All right. Let's see, intellect test, if the kid is smart enough to drop that gun or get dropped. Oh, that was quite good. He got a plus 2. Yeah. He apparently has respect for the police. Not sure why, but he drops his gun, hands up. Oh, man. And now it's a major freaking incident. And yes. For those of you who know the system, I realize, yes, he has off the grid. We'll get to that. But right now, in the heat of the moment, he can't just go poof off the grid and disappear. No, but I'm going to say that Burke and Avery come out, Avery no longer carrying a scalpel, and Bishop is going to come hobbling up behind, wearing only one boot, and his foot wrapped up and whatnot in ace bandages. And let's see if they can. You know, for some form of wizard, he's not very good at impressing people. So, yeah. The police are just ordering them back, which is reasonable. Let's zip through this really quick. He gets arrested and thrown into the back of the car. They collect the gun. They search him. They take all of his toys, his smoke bombs and knives and whatnot. And they are convinced he's a protester who snuck in. Well, he did sneak in, but he's not a protester. So I'm going to see if Avery or Bishop or, well, this is, let's draw for it. I don't have their stats. So is Burke able to convince the police that it's not what they think? No. Is Avery able to convince the police that things are okay? Yes. The kid isn't sure how, but he's watching and he can't hear what's being said. But they listen to the old man. And the sergeant especially listens to him and nods his head and whatnot. And when they check the guns, they're like, oh, everything seems okay. And, oh, you're right. And it was all a misunderstanding. And eventually they let the kid out and tell him, you know, he needs to play his stupid games in the house. And you realize that there's kind of a tense situation and he needs to stay inside. So no more shenanigans. They hand him back his gun and all of his stuff and order him back into the mansion. And Dakota's absolutely incredulous. Just, what? I don't. Bishop just leans on him and goes, just go with it. Come with me. And he helps Bishop back up to the house with Burke and Avery following a distance behind. Let's skip ahead a little bit with Dakota sitting in a chair, big plush chair, oak, that sort of thing. Very nice. Buck naked, hands over groin, looking extremely uncomfortable. While he has an old man moving his hair, checking everything, looking through his hair, behind his ear. Nope. I can see no modifications at all, Master. Good. Burke tosses a robe over to Dakota. Put this on. All right. So he quickly covers himself up. Why can't I have my own clothes? Kid, you haven't been... When's the last time you wore clean clothes? And honestly, Dakota hasn't even thought about it. Yeah, it's what I thought. You've been a little preoccupied, right? How do I know this? I called Carrie. I called Ellis. And I've been speaking with your friend Bishop. I think I've gotten your story pretty well, hashed out, right? Let me guess. Some things attacked your house, killed your whole family. Is that correct? Dakota just nods. Were you there? No. Okay. So, with that in mind, you have this little problem. Let's say. Just this little problem. You're a little hot-headed, and you want to avenge your family. You grab what you can, talk to the authorities, but they don't listen to you, right? Okay. Because they think you're crazy. Or just in shock. Or just a kid. Right? So, you go off and try to find the monsters. Do you know what monsters it was? There's a lot of different options, believe me. No, but, you know, I guess vampires? How do you know? Well, I don't. That's right. You don't. But you went off blindly running into a major metropolitan area and started poking around in supernatural hotspots, and they don't know what you're doing. All they know is you're some kid poking your head around where it doesn't belong, so they're just going to take it off your neck for you, because that's what monsters do, right? I believe Ellis put it correctly when he said, you're an idiot. Maybe a good-hearted idiot, maybe you have the right, you're coming from the right frame of mind. You want to do the right thing, but you don't know what you're doing, and you don't know how to do what you want to do in the first place. You're going to get yourself killed. In fact, he assumed you were already dead, that you wouldn't even make it out of the state. No offense, Bishop, but this is what he thought. Oh, I was a little surprised myself. Dakota just looks over. What? What? They want you dead. Anyway, sorry I can't do different voices for everybody. So here's what we're going to do. You and Mr. Avery are going to become very, very close. And no, not that way. No, you're going to spend pretty much every waking hour working with Mr. Avery. And he's going to teach you what you need to know. He's going to teach you how to stay alive. And more importantly, he's going to teach you how to help others stay alive. Because with your current attitude, you're not only going to get yourself killed, but as much as I love Carrie and think she came at this from the right point of view, she literally was sending someone into our home who's going to get himself killed and get more of my people killed. You understand? I can't let that happen. So, yes, you're human. Congratulations. That just makes you a weakness. Now, I believe you're not one of them. At least not now. But, if you don't want to work with Mr. Avery, you can get on a bus and leave, because I don't want you in my city. No matter what your intention is, you're a danger to my people, as it is now. Or you can become a benefit. Your choice. Let's see what he chooses. Well, I guess we're going to a different city. Nope. He is not going to comply. Oh, geez. I'm going to say that he's embarrassed by this whole thing. I'm going to say that Dakota is, he feels it's all an insult. He knows how to take care of himself. He's not just some stupid kid. Who's this guy? Oh, sure. Maybe he can do flames. Maybe he's rich. Who's he to tell him where he can go and what he can do and whether he can handle himself or not? He doesn't know what he's done. He's actually survived against a ghoul or whatever they call them. So, yeah, that's literally what he's saying. He's standing up. He's being all indignant. And Burke just sits there and listens. Are you finished? Sure. Where are my clothes? They're in the wash. You can thank Mr. Avery for that. They should smell garden fresh when they're done. But not yet. So, would you care to rant some more while waiting? Let's see. Will he rant some more? No. No, he said his piece and he's indignant and hot and really would like a whiskey or something to drink. Nobody's fed him or ate, you know, give him anything in a while. Listen, I'm trying to help you. I'm sure you don't see it that way. But maybe, just maybe, at some point in your life, you'll look back at this and go, gee, that Burke, he really did care. He wanted me to live. He wanted me to survive. Now, I don't expect you're ever going to get to that point because you're going to leave at some point. You're going to sneak out or whatever. You're going to find a way out. You're going to sneak away, and you're going to get yourself either killed or worse. But let me tell you this for sure. We have your picture. We know what you look like. If you leave this property before Mr. Avery has finished instructing you, you will be put on a list with every paranetter in the city. In fact, I'll make it nationwide, that if you're spotted, you're to be killed on sight. Not because we want you dead, no, but because we have to assume that you will have been turned. Because with your attitude, there's no way you'll last a day on these streets. Does he convince the idiot? Yeah, he does. So Dakota's going to sit down. He's not happy. He's angry. He's a hot-headed kid and wants revenge. And he feels insulted, but he's, yeah, that fear rises up in him that he remembers the fights he had with the ghoul, and sends a cold shiver down his spine again. He may have survived, but he didn't win either of those fights. Let's be honest. So, should we just do a quick training montage? Or go zip it along so we can get some more action going on? I think so, but let's let the Oracle decide. Yes. So it's time for a training montage! And we'll say that over the next couple weeks, the kid, Dakota, spends all day doing fighting training and instruction, you know, in classes and whatnot, with Avery, who is apparently a very adept hunter of some sort. He can throw knives, he shoots, is an awesome shot. He is knows all kinds of stuff about vampires and various monsters of different types and fairies. Really? Fairies are real? All this stuff. He's learning all these things from him. He has to write out essays. He has to do tests. It's like school, only all about monsters. But at least doesn't have to do algebra. So there's that. That's a bonus. Now, this is not going to affect his approaches or aspects or anything like that. We're just going to say it's for role-playing purposes. So, we'll spend a week or two doing that until one night at dinner, Mr. Avery will come in, and he has Dakota actually not eating dinner with them. He eats dinner with Avery. He's staff now, but he helps serve the dinner and whatnot to Bishop and Burke, who sit at either end of a very long dinner table. They don't sit near each other, and they don't talk during dinner. In fact, I'm going to say Dakota hasn't seen the two of them together, except for that first night, pretty much other than dinner. They almost like they avoid each other. So, yeah, they're stuck here. They can't leave the gated community because of the protests. The police keep trying to, you know, move them out, but they basically just scatter into the neighborhood and then come back. So, actually, I should be checking to see if they get in. Ooh. Actually, I should have just drawn. Still a good, that's a straight up yes anyway. So why don't we do that? I'm going to say it's like a week, 10 days in. And do I have stats for that? Let's see. That's a little overpowerful. That's way overpowerful. Oh, here we go. Come on. I don't need characters. I need opponents. Nope. That's lovely fun. That's a problem with this game is it doesn't have, it gives you the rules for making your own character, your own opponents, but it doesn't give you a lot of actual pre-built standard opponents. So I'm going to go with this again. See, do they have any defenses? Probably. Yep. Okay. I'm going to say that there's a bell that rings during dinner, and Dakota's just kind of look around and is like, what? Bishop hops to his seat, hops up out of his seat. His ankle's doing better. And Burke is going to slowly rise while Mr. Avery just sets down what was in his hands, turns around and walks out of the room. What was that? They've gotten in. It looks like we will be testing your mettle soon enough, young Dakota. So, please be so good as to follow Mr. Avery and do whatever he tells you to do, Burke says. He looks over at Bishop, and Bishop just kind of nods. He's like, hang tough, kid. It's going to be okay. So he'll follow Avery into the kitchen, where Avery is already putting on, like, a flak jacket type of, maybe a, like, police-style bulletproof vest armor carrier. It's got all the pouches and stuff. It's very tactical. Strapping on a duty belt, putting in a couple guns into the, you know, making sure his guns are secured and got plenty of ammunition and whatnot. And there's another set of gear laying out there as well. As he's putting on his things, he looks at Dakota and goes, "Do I need to dress you?" "What? Put it on." So Dakota just starts throwing on the garb, and it's doesn't really fit. He's much bigger, but he's trying to loosen straps a little bit, make it a little easier to fit, but it takes a little bit to get it to work. It's still going to be tight and raised up a little high, but it's okay. He can make it work. He does note that his .357 is in the holster and it's fully armed. It's, you know, got all six rounds, and he's got speed loaders in little pouches on the duty belt. He also has a small .45 automatic on his chest, in a holster on his chest, with some clips there as well. So I should say magazines, whatever. He's got plenty of rounds. He's good to go. So, Mr. Dakota, here is what we're going to do. We're going to go outside, and we're going to start a patrol of the parking, of the property. You're going to stay with me, just like we practiced before. Two steps behind, two steps to the right. Wherever I go, you follow. If I tell you to get behind cover, I get behind cover. There you go. Exactly. So, we're going to traverse the property, and then we will come back. Once we are back, we'll go inside and we'll secure the building. If you see someone that is not Mr. Burke, Mr. Bishop, or myself, shoot them. Oh, okay. Good. I know you can handle yourself. This will be fine. And so, out the back door they go. Is there something waiting out the back door? That's an emphatic yes. As they come out the back door, what is it going to be? Well, let's check. I'm going to roll one die. All right. It is a couple of, I want to say, youngish people, maybe in their 20s. One, the guy has slicked back hair and is wearing like an army jacket and, you know, a rock t-shirt, jeans, and engineer boots. And there's a much smaller woman with him who's got like multicolored hair, all kinds of studs and piercings on her face and ears. And she's wearing a pixie dress. And they both look at Avery and Dakota with just absolute hate in their eyes. So, let's determine initiative. Do they go first, or do we? Well, I'm going to say that they go first. And they're going to rush with just knives appear in their hands, and they rush forward. So, ooh, that was a good attack. And that one was not. That one ended up there. So, plus two for the guy and one for the girl. Actually, that's a, no, that's a minus one. So, that knocks hers down to a one. His was a plus two, so it goes up to a four. Right, I'm babbling to myself, but let's see who they attacked. Okay. So the guy attacks Avery and the girl attacks Dakota. He struck Avery. Avery took two. And actually, no, he didn't. He took one. And Everett is going to try to defend. Easily does so. Just on the roll, beat it. So he's able to defend against the girl slashing at him. And we're going to leave it right there. Because the dragon has sung. And that's what we do. Bottom of the initiative. We'll pick it up tomorrow. Or next time. I'm sorry. Next week. Whatever. So, just as a reminder, you can always drop by squirmy.com to listen to our other podcasts, read the blog, check out the Discord server. My Twitter feed is there now, or at least it was as of this recording, but this is almost a year. I'm recording almost a year prior to you hearing it. So, whatever. You can check out my Twitter, at Squirmy. You can check me out on Facebook, not that you'd want to. I may or may not be doing stuff on Discord or YouTube at this point. But you can find that all at squirmy.com. So, please do that. Also, please drop by the podcasting service of your choice, wherever you happen to be listening to this show, and give me a good review. Give me a thumbs up, a 5-star review on iTunes, whatever it is that you do there. That'd be great. I would very much appreciate the feedback. So, until next time, I'm Squirmy, reminding you that if you can't play with your friends, you can always play with yourself.
Thanks for listening to the show. If you want more content like this, come on over to squirmy.com. We've got more podcasts, blogs, our own Discord server, and so much more. Also, don't forget to join us again next week as your intrepid guide Squirmy delves once more into the world of solo role-playing.